Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve. This is Yahweh's Covenant People, Friday, September 28, 2018. And tonight we're going to do a study on the Prince of the Power of the Air, as translated, of course, into King James Version. And this is from the gotquestions.org website. www.gotquestions.org/Prince Power Air, and or you can just type this in your browser and follow along with us. The title is, What Does It Mean That Satan is Prince of the Power of the Air? In parentheses, Ephesians 2:2. Question, what does this mean?
He owns CBS.
Yeah, there you go. And ABC and NBC and Fox. You may think Fox is not owned by Jews, but it is. Okay.
Sure it is.
Yes. And the answer is, according to this website, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Okay.
It's in... Let me read my,
okay,
my thing from the scripture. They word things a little more differently. Verse 1, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You can reference, I'm going to give notes here too, Matthew 8:22, Romans 8, verse 6, Romans 8:6, Colossians 2:13 in Colossians, 1 Timothy 5:6, 1 Timothy 5:6, 1 John 3:14, 1 John 3:14, and Revelation 3:1. That's Revelation 3:1.
Yes. Now in verse one, he's talking about the redemption at Calvary. Because you were dead in your trespasses and sins, which were forgiven at Calvary. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about any future time, all right, as the Judeo is interpreted. But back to you.
You were dead, past
yes.
tense.
Yes, were. Okay. Good.
Were.
You caught that.
Verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. Okay, this and world.
Cosmos.
Is cosmos, which is order of arrangement.
Yes.
According to the ruler of the authority of the air, that means this world, the spirit
this
of
this evil world.
Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. The anointed ones, the ones that are called out, have the Holy
right.
Spirit.
So this can't
the
be the...
others
yeah.
have the demonic spirit
right.
of the sons of disobedience.
So this can't be the same cosmos as the cosmos in John 3:16, which is the cosmos of the Israelites, right? He's talking now
That's
about the cosmos.
Yahweh's order of arrangement.
Right. This is the prince of the power of the air, Satan's order of arrangement we're talking about here now.
Right.
Okay.
He can't create. He can only pervert.
Right. Right.
What Yahweh has created.
Yes. Yeah, okay, yeah. Why don't you just go into it? Keep reading. Verse 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Verse 3. Now, this is from the Scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research, which I find to be a much more accurate text. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once lived in the lust of our flesh. In other words, all have sinned. That's
once,
all of us.
Yes, yes.
Right? Doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, our own lusts, okay? And we're by nature children of wrath, as also the rest. Now, who is the rest? Well, that's the rest of humanity.
Israel.
That's the rest of humanity and rest of Israel. We were all just doing what we wanted to do and didn't think, weren't ready for redemption. Well, he so loved his order of arrangement, he wanted to bring his inheritance back into the fold.
Right.
So that's why Yeshua came, okay?
Amen.
But Elohim, who is rich in compassion, because of his great love with which he loved us.
Okay, us, not everybody.
Right. His inheritance. I'm highlighting that.
Yeah.
Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, that's dead in sin, okay, made us alive together with Messiah. By favor you have been saved. This was a gift.
Okay? Yes.
A gift of life to cover over. And we just finished Yom Kippur. Okay.
Right.
It
right.
ended at sundown tonight. That's the day of covering over of sin. Well, the covering over in sin now is by the blood of Yeshua Messiah. That's permanent. So we celebrate that. Okay, verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Messiah Yeshua. Okay, he has raised us up from that death in the trespasses, because we're only going to die once. We're not going to die the second death.
Hopefully.
Those are the ones that are faithful.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. He's talking about the faithful ones now, yes.
But you have to walk the walk. You can't just talk the talk. You gotta live it and suffer for it. Take up your stake and follow me. Verse 7, in order to show in the coming ages the exceeding riches of his favor in kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. Boy, that's powerful.
Right, yeah. Now
verse
he's
8.
Yeah, go ahead.
For by favor you have been saved. This is a gift, not
right.
He goes on to say that. Through belief, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of Elohim.
Yeah, and it was not promised. And it was not promised through the Mosaic law. It was promised earlier. Although the Mosaic Law and the Levitical priesthood had the ritual sacrifices for Passover, so that incorporated it into. But the promise of our salvation or redemption was even before.
That's correct.
Before that was given. Back to you.
Correct. Verse 9. This is important. Pay close attention. Do this. It is not by works. Okay, so that no one should boast. So yeah, we work. Eli and the rest on the EFR, we all work, but we work out of love. We don't work to earn salvation. That's already been given.
Mm-hmm.
We're called out. We don't have a choice. We have to do what we do because we're no longer of this world.
Right. But he's also here. Yeah, I think he's making a distinction between the house of Judah, which was still performing the works of sacrifice and other, works, other rituals, the performing rituals.
This is to the assembly at Ephesus.
Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah.
They were discriminating against the widows of the Hellenes.
Right, who were Israelites.
They had, and I did. We just did a big. I did a big thing about the ego of Peter when I did the thing on Acts. That's going to play later.
Okay.
And his ego was squelched when Yahweh told him, "You do not look down on these Israelites from other lands."
Right.
They are not common. They are not unclean because they have not been circumcised. They were living in foreign lands, but now they have come here as they are and are professing Yeshua Messiah and worshiping in the proper manner. You don't set them apart. You don't right. say, I can't eat with you because you're not circumcised and you're not from Jerusalem. That's ego. Stop it.
Right.
So, and that's what he did, basically.
Yeah. And that's basically what Paul is saying in verse 9, Ephesians 2:9.
Right.
Yeah.
It is not by works.
Yeah.
You can't earn it. You can't perform rituals to get it. It's a gift to the inheritance of Yahweh, which is Israel. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works. These are the ones that are called out into the remnant.
Unto good works.
We're called out to good works.
Okay, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's this interesting here, because he's contrasting good works in verse 10 with works in verse 9.
Ceremonial okay. works.
Yeah, they're the ceremonial ones, okay? Because anybody who says that he doesn't admonish us to do good works is a liar, because he says it right here.
Faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to walk it instead of talk it.
Right.
There we go. Created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which Elohim prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. We are
That's
created
right.
in him.
And I knew you from the very beginning.
That's right, before the world was.
uh-huh.
All right?
I knew you. You are mine. You are
predestinated.
Now in earth bodies. You are
yes.
now in earth bodies. And this is a testing ground. Who will you serve? Who will you walk after?
And here he says,
after stuff or false gods?
Right.
You're going to walk after Yeshua and obey the commandments that he taught.
Now, this verse doesn't use the expression predestinated. However, it says before ordained. And this is, proetomazo, to fit up in advance, literally or figuratively, ordained before, prepare afore. Okay?
All right.
So it's
Nobody
the same as predestinated.
To the Father unless he calls them.
Mm-hmm. And that we should walk in these good works. That's what he's saying
All
here.
Right. Now he's talking to the Ephesians here.
Right, the Israelites, yes.
Verse 11. Therefore remember that you, once nations in the flesh, following the dictates of the nations where they were
right.
dispersed.
12 tribes, yes.
Who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Those were the uppity-ups
right.
in Jerusalem that Peter had a problem. He was one of them, and he wouldn't associate with anybody that wasn't.
Yes, right, exactly.
Of their
Judah. Of Judah.
Temple.
Right,
he
of Judah.
He had a particular ego problem.
Right.
Well,
right.
Yahweh slapped him down.
Right. And this is not Jews versus Gentiles. This is Judahites versus dispersed Israelites.
That's
the
right.
Judahites are the circumcision. The Israelites dispersed are the uncircumcision. That's
because
what these two terms mean.
From birth in foreign lands, but
right.
they were raised as Israelites, but they weren't circumcised because it wasn't the local custom.
Right.
Verse 12. That at that time you were without Messiah, because they had to have bring Messiah to these Israelites.
Right.
Excluded from the citizenship of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no expectation without Elohim in the world. They were living in these foreign lands, but they were still yeah. Israelites. I'm an Israelite
right.
in America.
Yeah, right.
I'm an American nationally. But I'm an Israelite racially.
And again, he's not talking about the future. He says, at that time, ye were without Messiah. Okay?
That's right.
Because they had become alienated. And I'm wondering if this is actually a verb here. Yes, this should be being alienated. Oh, wow, this is a horrible translation. by translating a verb to alienate, apolitrio, apolitrio, it makes it sound like racial aliens can be subsumed under this covenant. Right? Read your version of it again.
Verse 12.
Yes.
That at that time you were without Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel,
uh-huh,
and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no expectation and without Elohim in the world.
Yes, now stranger is a noun.
Their order of arrangement again, cosmos.
Stranger is a noun, but aliens is a verb. You have the word excluded, right, in your translation?
Right.
Okay, that's a verb. This is a bad translation designed to include foreigners, non-Israelites, into the covenant. That's a bad translation, folks. This is a deliberately false translation. Back to you.
Right, verse thing. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who once were far off in foreign land,
uh-huh,
have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah. They were in Ephesus.
Yes, and they can only be Israelites because only Israelites were promised to have the forgiveness.
That's right.
The Passover
verse
forgiveness.
14. For he is our peace who has made both one, and having broken down the partition of the barrier, in other words, you wouldn't be people of Yehuda,
uh-huh,
or Greeks,
right,
or Romans, or
between
any of
the
that
barrier
stuff,
between the two houses, the house of Israel,
be, and between the dispersion and Yehuda.
You there
you
go.
All Israel,
right.
In other words,
that's what he's saying here.
Israel.
He's not saying that he's broken down the barriers between blacks and whites, or Israelites and Jews, right? This is exclusively about the 12 tribes and the two houses that they were, you know, had become
verse
under Solomon.
15, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity,
mm-hmm,
the Torah of the commands in dogma, so as to create in himself one renewed man from the two, thus making peace. We were enemies of the Torah.
Right.
It
and of each other.
Made us lost. We fought among ourselves. We were in apostasy. He has abolished the enmity. He didn't abolish the Torah.
Right.
He abolished the enmity to the Torah. All right? He reconciled us to the Torah. All right? Verse 16. And to completely restore to favor both of them unto Elohim in one body through the stake, that's the crucifixion,
Staros,
having destroyed the enmity by it.
Mm-hmm.
That destroyed the enmity we had
between the two houses. Right.
And between the two houses, we were not obeying the Torah, and we were fighting among ourselves.
Right.
Verse, he reunited the houses of Israel. That's what he did.
Yes.
Verse 17. All right. I want to read the scripture verses for verse 15.
Okay.
Colossians 2:14 and 2:20. Acts 11, verses 1 through 3. Okay. This next verse, verse 17, you can reference Isaiah 57, verse 19. And having come, he brought as good news peace to you who were far off and peace to those near. That's Isaiah 57, verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I need to highlight something here. Verse 19.
Okay, there's only a couple more verses, and we'll go back to the article. Go ahead.
So then, verse 18, because through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit.
Unto the Father.
That is the people of Yehuda and the people of all the other dispersions.
Yes, not Jews and Gentiles.
We both have access to the Father.
Yeah. Both houses, yes.
And
both the circumcision and the uncircumcision, as he uses the terminology. Back to you.
They are not actually strangers and foreigners.
Right.
They were treated as strangers and foreigners by the people of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the set apart ones. And members of the household of Elohim. You're part of called out ones. You're part of Israel. Verse 20. Let me give the verses for that. For that verse, for verse 19, Romans chapter 11, verses 17 through 24.
Okay.
And Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1. Okay. Verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the emissaries and prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being chief cornerstone. That's the foundation stone.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21, in whom all the building being joined together grows into a set apart dwelling place in Yahweh. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of Elohim in the Spirit.
Very good, very good. So this whole chapter is Paul explaining to the two houses that the redemption at Calvary has healed the breach between them. That's what he's saying.
The house of Israel and the house of Yehuda are now rejoined.
And now they're one household.
Messiah.
They're one household now, as he's saying in verse 19. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. This has nothing to do with bringing other races into our fold. It's talking about the breach that was caused by Solomon when we covered this last week. When he started marrying non-Israelite women in his harem.
Yep.
Okay.
The bloodline.
A direct relationship between that and the breach of the two houses. And so then from that breach, it was already foreordained that the breach would be healed, all right, with the coming of Messiah. All right?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. All right, so let me go back to the article here. What does it mean that Satan is prince of the power of the air, where they quote Ephesians 2:2, and at least these are Judeo-Christians. Let's see what they have to say. In this text, the Apostle Paul describes Satan first as a prince with power because he has authentic power in the world. And he quotes 1 John 5:19, which says, we know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. It sure does. We're all witnesses to that. This power has been given by him, to him by God, and that's Luke 4:6. To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. Okay, and when Yahshua was tempted of the devil during his 40-day fast, he did not dispute the devil when he said, I can give you all of this. He said,
yes.
he didn't dispute that point. Okay? He was mute rather than dispute. Okay? Satan has power over some illnesses. Well, he causes them. Luke 13:16, and ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Okay, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. That's where that verse comes from.
course.
See also 2 Corinthians 12:7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. I love it.
He lost his vision.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what did it say? There would be thorns in our thorns in our sides and pricks in our eyes. Okay? The author continues, it's unknown if Paul's thorn was an illness or something else. I think you just...
Timothy had to transcribe
right.
What he dictated.
He was Paul's amanuensis, i.e. secretary. In some sense, Satan has power over death, Hebrews 2:14. The reason Satan is called a prince rather than a king is because there's only one king, Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 6:15. So far, so good. The very well-constructed argument and the quotations are all relevant. All right. Satan also has power over some people. I would say more than some. I would say the great masses of humanity he has power over. Look at all the heathen religions, most of which are pagan. Okay. Oh, yeah. Satan has power over them. Yeah.
We are besieged by...
Oh, man. Yeah, on all sides, above and below. The sons of disobedience, referred to in Ephesians 2:2, are those who have not trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. I'd say it's more than that. I think Paul is referring to, you know, people of other races as well who are, you know, not capable of obedience. So, and he quotes Acts 26:18, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Revelation 13:12. The demons are also under the rule of Satan, Matthew 12:24, which states, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons. Okay? When we know the Pharisees were ruled by Satan, there's no doubt about that. Okay. I clicked on the link and it took me away. Okay. And one of his titles is Prince of Demons, Matthew 9:34. Satan has a kingdom, Matthew 12:26. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? This was Yahshua's answer to the Pharisees who claimed that he was healing people by the power of Beelzebub. Okay? And he has a throne, Revelation 2:13, sorry. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. Okay.
Yep.
What?
They were killing witnesses left and right. They
right.
stoned Stephanos. My reading of the book of Acts covers a lot of the stuff that they did to the apostles and stuff that the apostles did.
Okay? Yes.
Okay. The miracles and the healings and the raising of the dead. Just all kinds of stuff. Acts is a miraculous book. I just finished 10 and 11. Now that's going to air on Monday, and I'm going to record all the books and everything tomorrow. Probably some more tonight and some tomorrow, all the way through the Feast of Tabernacles, because I'm going to have everything loaded into the server. They won't be put into the archives until I get back.
Okay.
I'll just tell y'all right now, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be with the brethren. I'm going to be with Leroy and Marilyn and Eli and Professor Truth and
David James.
Patrick, David mm-hmm. James, Patrick and his wife. And just, oh, man, this is going to be a huge.
Right.
I can't name them all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know all who's coming. There's just a whole gang of. We got the whole campground booked
right. Yeah.
You
I think
know,
it was four or five campsites.
I'm bringing two tents, and Eli's got his van,
man.
And we got motorhomes. And I mean, we're going to have Bible study. We're going to have we're going to make videos down there.
Yeah.
We're going to fish for trout. We're going to catch trout and we're going to cook trout.
I think we're going to have four. We're going to have four motorhomes, if not more.
Oh yeah.
And a bunch of tents. So.
And a bunch of tents, and we cook.
Yes.
It is a feast. Okay.
Oh yeah.
It is one of the observant portions of our lives.
Well, it's the Feast of Ingathering. That's one of the names.
We have been doing a Passover and unleavened bread in the spring. And this is going to be the 1 year anniversary since my heart attack and my subsequent healing by Yahweh. Mm-hmm. I am so much stronger. And just everything is working just marvelously. And I've got the prophets finished. Prophets are available. And I'll have copies, all that stuff I'm taking down there. But if you go to my website, you can find how to get the prophets. But
yes.
We'll just continue on in this right now.
Right. Well, this is an important statement the author makes here, because even within identity, Sheldon Emery, to be specific, didn't believe in Satan as an entity, as a power, as a conscious being, okay? But clearly he is, and he does rule over this world, this evil world, okay? But he does not rule over the world of Israel. You know, he may grab us and pull us away from Yahshua, but there's no way that Satan can touch that kingdom. That kingdom is guaranteed.
We're in the world, but not of the world.
Correct.
He can pester us and persecute us and maybe even kill us, but only with Yahweh's permission.
That's right. That's right.
And he can't touch us unless he gets the okay. And Yahweh wants to test us. That's
right.
What this body and this life is a testing ground to see who you will serve. You're going to worship stuff, or are you going to worship Yahweh?
Yes.
If you worship stuff, you're going to burn up with the stuff. Yes. That's how it is.
Now, the Hebrew word for Satan is Shatan, I believe. Shatan. Let me look at, I don't have it right in front of me. I forget what the Greek word is for Shatan.
Satanos.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Satanos. Okay, very good. Very good. And so what we're looking at is an etheric being that exists in a different atmosphere, okay? But Satan, it does.
Satan means adversary.
It means adversary, yeah.
That's Satan.
Okay.
Ha-Satan means the Satan, makes
right.
the proper
the
name.
Adversary, right.
He called one of the disciples, get behind me, adversary, but Satan, adversary.
Mm-hmm.
But ho, that's the Greek article, ho, Satanos, means the Satan. That's the proper name.
Right. So
with the capital F.
So from ha in the Hebrew to ho in the Greek. Not much difference at all. Okay.
Right.
Now, next sentence. Satan is called a prince because he is a ruler and possesses power to manifest evil in the world through influencing people and commanding demons.
Prince, because he used to be
the
number one, divine angel.
Cherubim.
He was a top guy,
right?
And he thought he could be
number
one replacement for Yahweh, and he wanted to bump himself up, and he got kicked out.
That's right.
War in heaven, and he fell like lightning.
Right. Now, it says, the air in Ephesians 2:2 may refer to the invisible realm above the earth where Satan and his demons move and exist. I'm not sure above is correct. I'd say beyond, right? In another dimension entirely. You know, it's not above.
It touches on this dimension.
Right.
They're moving around here.
Right.
And they have physical progeny here.
Right. And these demons can travel back and forth between that dimension and this one. Okay, just like those demons that Yahshua put into the swine,
right.
And the herd of swine ran into the sea. Well, obviously those demons crossed over from that dimension into this one.
we only have a certain type of vision as far as physical seeing objects. There are things we can't see but still exist. We don't see beyond our, our capabilities of these bodies.
Yeah.
But in the divine bodies that we will get, we will be restored. We'll be able to do all these things. We'll be able to move between the realms, be able to go all over.
Right. Well, I think it was this morning that we recorded a show with Andy, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think one of the last verses in that chapter was where Paul describes that this physical world is created by the invisible world. The unseen world is what is responsible for forming the visible world. Okay? So, and that one, that invisible world may be much bigger. It must be more power and, how should I put it? The concretization, right, for lack of a better word, of these spiritual forces into physical matter, into physical acts, into flesh and blood, okay? But the real power...
Israelite 1 has the contact information for the Feast of Tabernacles, and you better get a hold of him early. Better do it now.
Right.
Because we're getting packed in. We're going to run out of spaces.
Right, right. We get to the point where newcomers, if we don't have room for you, you might have to rent a motel. There is a lodge motel right nearby. It's really nice. It's deep inside the woods. Okay, it's a really nice area. So if it comes to that, okay. All right. So he continues. This space, of course, is the location of the Earth's atmosphere or air, and we just talked about it. It's probably another dimension altogether. But that does not exclude the air, okay? Because these demons are able to transverse between, flip back and forth between them. In Ephesians...
They're still different beings than we are.
Right, oh yeah, yeah. In Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Okay? The other dimensions, they exist. They're for real. I don't know how you can mistake Paul for not suggesting that these entities are real and do exist. All right?
Well, there's so many people that want to deny that
because
they're in opposition to Yahweh, and they want to confuse and disorient the chosen people. You will try to deceive the very elect.
Yes, okay? They will try, yes. So in Ephesians 6:12, which I just quoted, Paul writes, quote, I don't need to quote it again. This evil realm called the air could be an actual locality or an actual dimension, and it could be a portion of a dimension. You know, my father's house has many mansions, right?
Right.
Okay. But it could also be synonymous with the world of John 12:31. Now is
the order of arrangement.
Right. And now every time we hear the expression this world, it's almost always a reference to this physical evil world that we're in, okay? This evil order of arrangement. Now,
it was once Yahweh's order of arrangement,
yes,
but it's been taken and perverted by
the atmosphere. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out? That's another function of his sacrifice at Calvary, not just to redeem Israel, but to begin the process of casting Satan out and ultimately into the fires of Sheol, right? Okay.
Lake of fire.
This whole world is Satan's domain, quoting Matthew 4:8-9. Let me go there. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Well, how many of our people are worshiping stuff?
Right. He is the great God of stuff.
That's right.
Stuff worshipers.
It's they want heaven now.
Come, brothers and sisters, and join the church of what's happening now.
Yeah.
We promise you, if you donate to us, we're going to get you lots of stuff.
That sounds like the gospel of prosperity. All right? You shall have tribulation. Although Satan,
which will burn up the rest.
Right, yeah. Keeping all that stuff maintained comes at a heavy price. All
my
those.
Brother, you mean God's going to melt my new Cadillac? Oh, no. Say it ain't so.
Yeah. Although Satan has power and authority in the current world system in which we exist, his power is limited, always under the sovereign control of God. Well, here's Job, and we'll go to Job momentarily. And Yahweh said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has and is your hand is in your hand. Only against him, that is Job, do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of Yahweh. Okay, so again, even in the Old Testament, Shaitan is a being with whom you can have a conversation. Okay, and he was conversing with Job as well. Okay.
And Job knew the name of Yahweh, called upon it, and Job, the book of Job, is older than any of the books of Moshe, older than the original Torah.
Okay.
That's the oldest book in the Bible.
Yes, yes.
So they knew the name of Yahweh even before Moshe. Okay?
Yes, yes. Okay, God has not revealed all of the whys and whens concerning Satan's rule and when it comes to an end, but he has made it clear that there is only one way to escape the power of Satan's dominion, and that is through his son, Yahshua. Acts 26:18. Did you cover this one? To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Okay.
Right. If they choose and they stick by the covenant,
you
make a covenant, you have to keep it.
Yes. And that is in the present tense, that they may. It's not the redemption at the cross, which is now past. He continues, it is Jesus who, speaking of the impending cross or stake, declared victory. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Okay. So, I mean, given all of these quotations having to do with Satan, how can it be, how can it be objected that Satan is not a real entity?
All right, we're not seeing him in persona right now.
But right.
We are seeing the manifestations of his workings.
Yeah.
We are seeing his physical offspring.
Yes.
Through Cain, who was the son of a fallen angel. Okay. Eve was the mother, but the father was a fallen angel.
Yes.
And his offspring are still in this world today with their satanic DNA, and they are of the devil and the lust of their father they wish to do. Yahshua called them out.
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 8. Well, if you believe in Yahshua, you need to believe what he said was true. And if you don't believe in Yahshua, you're hit.
Yeah.
That's all I can say to you, brothers. You're hit if you just, I don't believe in all that stuff. Okay. I don't care. You can worship the great pumpkin. I don't care.
That time is close.
But I don't have anything for you.
Halloween.
If you choose not to follow, that's a free choice. And I can only tell you the truth, and Eli can tell you the truth, David James can tell you the truth. But if you reject that, you're on your own, and your butt's blowing in the breeze, buddy. It's going to be a mighty hot breeze later on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I can say to you. You do what you want. You got free will.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a price to pay. So Don't come crying when the days of wrath come down. Don't,
yes.
Don't whine and cry when I show up on your front doorstep in my new body with a sword. Okay?
Right, and a Cadillac.
and a Cadillac with right? armor plating.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. And, you know, and you can see the panic in the world today. You can see how vicious the enemy is becoming because the truth is coming out and it's winning over more and more and more, and they are acts of desperation.
Absolute. Like the Kavanaugh hearings.
By the minions and offspring of the prince and power.
Right. Diane Feinstein. Making up this whole story about Kavanaugh 36 years ago.
Watching
Amazing.
His empire crumble.
Yes, it is crumbling.
The days of Yeshua's return get a day closer every day.
Yes.
So get your personal house in order, people.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say to you. I can exhort you to righteousness, but I can't make you. Neither can Eli. I mean, we can tell you the truth, but if you reject the truth, what can we do about it?
Yeah.
We can't make you. We're you're not a puppet. We're not in control. We tell you the truth, and we teach the gospel to you because we love you.
Amen. Amen. Sell your cloak and buy a sword. By the way, Steve's going to give demonstrations on how to wield those things.
I will give a kendo demonstration down there. I have been studying kendo for quite some time.
Oh, okay.
And iaido. Kendo is the actual use of the sword, and iaido is a ceremonial method of drawing a sword. There's a particular way to draw it according to Japanese tradition.
Okay.
I do these things because of the physical stretching exercises that it requires, because I'm still healing from my heart attack, and they cut me so badly.
Right.
I'm still healing up, and I had to eat something today because my blood sugar had gone low. It's not sky high. It's down in the normal range, but if I don't eat, it goes low like a normal person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and that's, you know, y'all can laugh at DIY health all you want. But, hey.
Yeah, if it's
you know,
working
I,
for
I
you,
I take that
great.
Stuff every day. My blood pressure's perfect. I'm not taking any big pharma at all. Nothing. I take insulin, but I'm lessening on my insulin now because my body is being healed. Yahweh is doing that. You understand, folks? All healing comes through the Father.
Very good. Very good. Okay, now let's turn to the book of Job. I'm going to begin at verse 6, chapter 1, where Satan is introduced. Now, there was a day when the sons of Elohim, is it Elohim? Yeah, it's Elohim. The sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh. And Satan came also among them, and I would say this was in both in the air, because they're able to look down on the earth from above, and also in the other dimension. So we're talking about another worldly scene.
The great throne room that still exists. Yahweh's sitting on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Yahshua's at his right hand.
Yeah. And verse 7, and Yahweh said unto Satan, so just as Yahshua spoke to those demons that he cast out into the swine, Yahweh is speaking, and is he speaking to himself? Is this a monologue or a soliloquy? Or is this a dialogue here? Well, it's a dialogue.
The Satan was still of sufficient power that he could stand in physical presence before that throne.
Yes.
He still had permission to enter that realm.
Mm-hmm.
Now he is trapped here.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And he is angry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
He's not happy.
Yes.
He wants to get off this planet badly.
Yeah, because this is it's a prison. This
it's
is
prison.
A
That's
yeah, it's a prison
exactly.
for him. Right.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Boring.
Yeah. Whence or from where comest thou? Yahweh's asking Satan, what are you doing here? Where'd you come from? Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So, you know, he could actually take physical form if he wanted to and just walk sure. around. But most of the time, he is hovering over the landscape like a demonic force, right? And then his followers...
A demon vulture.
Yeah, right? His followers also have demon souls, if for lack of a better expression.
They've got
okay.
demon DNA.
That's right. That demon DNA.
DNA. DDNA.
Right. Okay. Verse 8. And Yahweh said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth El and escheweth evil? Okay, well, what's going on here, Pastor Steve? Is Yahweh inviting Satan to perform evil acts against Job?
He is going to tempt the adversary to persecute Job in order to glorify himself and really slap down the adversary, because Job is going to pass the test.
Yes.
After all the hell that the devil puts him through, he's going to make the grade.
Now, isn't this a parable for all true Israelites?
Yep.
Every single one of us has to go through this.
This is an example of what, oh boy, we know all about that.
Right? Yep.
We are tested and tried and persecuted and... We have to even be careful when we go out in public. When Eli goes out with Art Jones, they have to be very aware of who's around to keep from being physically harmed.
Right.
Because these Antifa and Black Lives Matter people.
Yeah, and Arabs, Muslims.
They absolutely are violent, and there's no repercussions. They're never punished.
Yes.
That's a signal that the system is sending to them that they can just do what they want to us.
Yes, yes.
Okay, no go zones in our own cities. Oh, please.
Yes, yes. Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Okay. Does Job respect you for nothing? Well, he's going to obey. Maybe he means fear here in the sense of that he's afraid.
Fear me, and that word fear there is to hold in awe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they translate it as fear. That's another King Jamesism.
Right, right. Yes.
Does
yes.
he hold you in awe for no reason?
Mm-hmm.
So we have about 7 minutes here.
Yes, yes.
I'm looking at that clock.
Yeah.
We may have to do this again.
Yeah.
This is a good
yeah.
study.
I think this. Yeah, I think the first three chapters of Job deal with Yahweh and Satan, but let's continue here. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land? Well, the Bible promises that if we obey his laws, we will prosper, okay?
Correct.
But we can never assume that this prosperity is done by ourselves and forget Yahweh. That's what our people always do. Prosperity, yeah, right, from Yahweh. Prosperity is the worst thing that can befall Israelites, because that's when they start to forget Yahweh. Okay.
And that's when the false, deceiving prophets and pastors come out and have these prosperity preaching churches.
Yes. Now, every single one of us is going to be tested exactly the way, not to the extreme necessarily that Job was tested, but the moral of the story is the same, that we will have tribulation, but we're being refined in the fire. Okay.
correct. The book of Job is a metaphorical book.
Right.
It may not be physically literal. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think it's both. I think these
well,
events.
Yes, but I mean the examples given.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. About Satan walking around, all that. That's his method of transport.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
We don't really know what that is.
No, we don't. No. It just says going to and fro. All right, verse 10.
I don't think he takes a bus.
No. Hast not thou made an hedge about him? That he's really protected? You know, what do you
expect? Hedge of protection.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Verse 11. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So here, Satan is being cynical. Okay. That he's saying Job is only a fair weather friend, right? When there's
correct.
Trouble, if there's trouble, he's going to abandon you like he never knew you. This is what Satan is saying to Yahweh.
Job's wife later on says, curse God and die.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So some of
the
us have wives.
Speaks.
Some of the us have wives
speaks.
Like that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Verse 12. And Yahweh said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, with one exception, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yahweh. Okay, so you cannot harm.
He was not allowed to kill him.
Right. Right.
But he could afflict him with boils.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so this is the ultimate test of faithfulness to Yahweh and his laws, okay? Because every one of us has gone through this. Every single Christian identian has gone through this. But we know.
Still going through it.
Yeah, and still going through it, okay? And we don't hold a grudge against Yahweh because we know it's part of the refining process. It's part of what gets us into the kingdom. If we're not tested, then we can't prove that we can get into that we deserve to be in the kingdom and be part of the 144,000 that administers the kingdom. All right? Okay. So there's this whole testing, and this entire planet, this life that we live, is a testing process for getting into the kingdom. It wasn't, that part of it wasn't granted 2,000 years ago at Calvary. That was a one-time redemption for past sins, okay? The rest of it, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Paul says, okay? With fear and trembling, just like this fear and trembling that's being talked about here in the book of Job, okay? So, this, sometimes it gets pretty hairy, okay? I mean, I faced death, literally, 7 or 8 times in Vietnam, and I have frag wounds to prove it, okay? So, at that point, but I, at the same time, Pastor Steve, on a couple of those occasions, I felt the presence of my guardian angel protecting me.
We have those.
Yes, we have those. And I felt the presence, and when I felt the presence of that being, I had no fear. In the midst of a firefight, I had no fear. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yep.
So Yahweh, every once in a while, Yahweh shows us that he is there guiding us through. But if you're lacking in faith and you don't like being tested, well, then he's saying, okay, well, you don't want to pass the test, do you? All right?
Nope. We've got about 30 seconds
yes.
to check out, brother.
Okay.
We'll catch you on the next show, folks.
Yes. Okay. Thanks for listening. We'll pick it up in Job 1 verse 13 next week. Oh, actually not next week, the week after, because we'll be at Feast of Tabernacles. So praise Yahweh,
right.
And we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Take care, and Yahweh bless.
May Yahweh bless and keep you. Shalom aleichem.